kingdom of God, let me remind you that Jesus said himself in the Sermon on the Mount, seek you first the kingdom of God. First, priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his, that is God's, righteousness. And then the blessed promise in that same verse, and all of these things will be added unto you. You will have what you need. You may not have what you want. The Bible in no place, regardless of what you hear on television, the Bible does not promise us everything we want.
Amen.
The Bible says if you'll delight yourself in Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But you delight yourself in Him, then you remember what He said about life. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. Now, we've been talking about the kingdom of God and righteousness, and that's a very big topic. It's many, many, many times in the Bible. We've covered a lot of them, have a few more to cover. But then Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and the book of Romans is the most complete book in the Bible as far as our salvation is concerned. Everything anybody would ever need to know is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans. He'd never been there, and he didn't want them to miss out on anything. And it's so cute to me. The way he got it there, he found a lady that was going there, and she put it in her purse and took it to Rome. Isn't that amazing? God has a sense of humor and a way to do everything, doesn't he? He never has to scratch his head and wonder, well, what am I going to do with this? Because it's always, always done perfectly. But I must mention this very briefly, Hebrews 12:11, that about chastening. Did we talk about it? Seemed like I remember saying something about my mother and her chastening. But I want to tell you something, friends. You can never amount to anything without discipline. And you know, these people, so many of them that blame the black people and they blame this and they blame that on the conditions of our schools, and the main thing that's wrong with the conditions of our schools is American parents. Would you agree with that? You agree with that, Linda Burley? That won't make their children behave. There's a lack of discipline and a lack of training, and it will ruin a society. But the chastening, the discipline that the Lord gives to us is profitable. I found a beautiful printout, and I misplaced it, on how we grow more in the valley than we do on the mountaintop. And we walk through the shadow of the valley of death. You see, we know that He is there and that we're not missing out on anything that He has for us, no matter where we are. And you know, you look at godly people who suffer and you wonder why. But God has a purpose. And it's not up to us to question God's integrity. But this chastening, and a chastening is in a cruder way, it's a punishment. But it's a training. And the writer to the Hebrews says that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And righteousness is two simple words. Righteousness, a right standing with Him, and a right standing with one another. And I'm going to tell you something, and you may be offended. Forgive me. Okay? If we don't have right relationships with one another, then don't claim to have a right relationship with our Lord.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
The Bible teaches us to love Him and love one another. Mm-hmm. So we can't say we love Him if we don't love one another. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be some disputes, some arguments, some little things to work out. But the same sermon about the kingdom of God tells us how to forgive. Forgive. There's no alternative. And why I'm on forgiveness, someone in here, and I'm not sure, remember now who it was, wanted to see those tapes that this lady in the German prison camp. Was there anyone in here? I can't remember her name now, but someone wanted to hear. And was it you? Okay, all right, I have. There are two of them if you want them. I have them after class. But her powerful testimony on forgiveness. See, you cannot fail to forgive. I mean, it's just that simple. That's what the Bible says. We must forgive. Turn in your Bible to the little book of James. I don't know. Did we do this? Do any of you remember? I won't be very long. Did we?
You mentioned you whirled over to it, but you didn't go.
All right. Okay. Look at the book of James then, chapter 1 and verse 19. This is good advice in verse 19. So then, and he is talking about what he has already said. So then means therefore, or what's already been said. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That is, slow to anger. Boy, that's good advice, isn't it?
Amen.
You know, so many of us are hot-headed, and we can get mad as a wet hen and a drop of just in a minute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's an old nature, you see. And the Bible speaks against it.
Uh-huh.
Be swift to hear. You listen.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to speak. Don't be in a hurry to answer back. And slow to wrath or anger. Anger is the reason so many people are in prison.
That's right.
Anger is the cause of so many unhappy marriages.
Right.
Anger is the cause of broken relationships between brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
And we have much good teaching in the Bible about anger. And this is one of the best ones. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What that means in street language, no matter how mad you get and how hard you fuss, it is not a substitute for his righteousness, for yours don't count. Thank you. Don't ever move from the front. I couldn't make it without you. It doesn't matter how you think about something. It doesn't change or produce the righteousness of God, because his righteousness is perfect. You know, the best aid to peace is a shut mouth. This is true. I mean, you search the book of Proverbs. Our mouth is our worst enemy. Then in James chapter 2, look at verse 23, this is not so much, this is just information, and you already knew it. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And that's the first time the word righteousness is mentioned in the Bible, when God spoke that to Abraham. Chapter 3 and verse 18 of the little book of James. Chapter 3, this is so good, and we need this so badly. Look at 17 before we read 18. The wisdom that is from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Isn't that a wonderful collection of glorious descriptive words? The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is our wisdom is knowing what to do with what we have. And the wisdom of God is his word, his direction, his instruction, his righteousness. And ours is knowing how to apply it, and that would bring us the wisdom from above. Wood is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, and these other things, you see, which is a perfect description of a right relationship with him and with others. And then he says, the fruit or the production, what righteousness produces, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Amen.
When we get through, if it's all right with you, the kingdom of God being righteousness, I want to look up some scriptures on peace. Is that all right?
Amen.
And then some on joy, so that we can get a full understanding of what the kingdom of God is. Look at verse 17 of James. We just have to look at this. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. Now that doing good there doesn't just apply to charitable giving. It doesn't just apply to service and giving. But anything that you know that it to do that is good, that is not bad. Friendliness, kindness, forgiveness, service. Anything that is good, anything that is good, needs to be observed. And that would include the traffic laws. That would include the federal income tax returns.
Mm-hmm.
That would include everything that you know to be of good character. That is righteousness. And to know it and not to do it, that's sin. And that's serious. It includes more than we even really stop to think about. You know, talking again about anger, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he says, be angry, but don't sin. That is, squelch it. Yeah. Don't let it get the best of you.
Uh-huh.
I want you to look. Let me say this again. And remember it. See, right relationships with one another is a proof or testimony of our obedience. Right relationships, that's a testimony to our understanding and our obedience of the Scripture. Everybody understand that? Can anybody argue with that? I mean, it's one another. And if we don't have one another in right relationship, then like I said before, we cannot brag about having a right relationship with the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to just mention verse 18 through 25, but looking at verse 18, it's about submission. And submission is a biblical commandment. Did you hear me? We like to do our own thing. We like to be our own boss. We don't like for anybody to tell us what to do. But submission is a biblical commandment. And we can't change it. And this says that you have to submit to all kind of bosses. It's easy to submit to somebody that's nice and sweet and kind. But we are, according to this instruction, to submit to everybody. And it goes on to talk about this submission and suffering for righteousness' sake, how you take that patiently. For this you recall, because Christ suffered for us, this is verse 21, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. Now, verse 23 says, and of course Christ had no sin. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. I want to tell you, that is one of the most difficult things. When someone speaks harshly to you, it's so difficult not to speak back to them. And they say, well, this isn't very spiritual, isn't very glamorous. Well, I don't know that the Bible's supposed to be glamorous. And I don't know that you always have to have a good time. There's so much emphasis in American Christianity on being blessed. Well, that's all right, but we need to be challenged.
Amen.
We need to be instructed.
Amen.
Because Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all Scripture is profitable.
Amen.
For doctrine, instruction, reproof, and for training, instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
That the man of God, and that includes you girls too, will be fully equipped for every good work. Now, you can't argue with that. We need, Lord, to know what to do that is right and pleasing to him. I know this is not interesting, but I feel compelled by the Spirit of God to deal with truth. And those of you who are interested, well, come on, we'll eat some more. Jesus bore our sins, this is verse 24, in his own body on a tree that we, now listen to this, we, that's you and me. When it says we, it means us. Having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Does your Bible say that?
Amen.
The purpose of Jesus' death was that you and I could live, demonstrate, practice righteousness.
That's right.
He didn't know anything. He had no sin. He took our sins, that we could have his righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could have the righteousness of God in him. I don't know a more beautiful verse in all the Bible than that. Does everybody see what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And don't ask me why people don't get healed. I do not know. But I have known beautiful people that died a terrible death. I do not know. But this healing here refers to spiritual wholeness.
Amen.
Yeah. This is spiritual wholeness. This is your salvation. You were healed from your sins and made alive unto righteousness. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. That's another one of the great titles of the Lord. Any questions so far about any of this? Okay, look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. The further I dig, the more I see. And the more practical it becomes. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter identifies himself and then he identifies those to whom he is writing, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us. Now listen at this. We have obtained like precious faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have received righteousness by Him. Isn't that wonderful? You better have some righteousness. You're going to have it. If you don't have it, you better be getting it. Because you can't talk about how much you love God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious zealots of Jesus, they did that, but they hated Gentiles and wouldn't accept Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? Right relationships. We must have right relationships. And you know, it's something, I'm going to get you to confess. Have you ever just run across somebody that you just flat don't like?
Yeah.
Any liars in here? We'll cast it out of you. But let me talk to you about that. You cannot afford that attitude. I said, you can't afford that attitude. And you see, if you don't like something, you're not going to have anything to do with it. That you see anything from okra to English peas, possum stew, anything you don't like, you're not going to buy it at the grocery store, you're not going to cook it on the stove, you're not going to put it on the table, you're not going to eat it at somebody else's table. Now, that liking relationship, you see, can come right over into us, humanity. And what you must do, and I've had to do it, and I'm so thankful that I have learned that I can't, it's a luxury I can't afford to say I don't like somebody. You have to make yourself yield your hateful emotions to the instruction of a loving God.
Amen.
Now, there's some people you enjoy more than others. I mean, that's just natural. But don't put your affections against anybody that God has created. There's a scripture, if I can get to it, that talks about that. But you see what Peter is saying? We have precious faith because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He dealt righteously with us. I said he dealt righteously with us so that we could have this precious faith. You know, I was thinking how uncertain life is. And why Jesus taught his disciples and those who were listening to keep their lamp full of oil. Keep the wick trimmed so your light can shine. And he talked about these 10 virgins, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. And the 5 that didn't thought they'd go get some at the last minute. But that didn't work, you see. And as Christians, and I'm going to say this and you may not agree, but I love you anyway. I think when we hear sermons, Bible teachings, that we need to hear something that challenges us to growth. That all right?
Yeah.
Because you see, the Bible, I didn't share this with you, I don't think. Did somewhere, I don't remember where. Someone said the Bible is God's bar of soap to keep you clean.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I said, that's good. Are you washed? The Bible talks about washing, meaning cleaning. washed by the word.
Amen.
I believe it's in Titus. This is God's bar of soap. And if God's bar of soap isn't preached or taught, then your time's wasted. Thank you, Randy. Anybody else? See, this is the purpose of God's word, is to instruct us in ways of righteousness, and nothing else will do it. Second Peter has an awful lot to say that we need to look at. So, just so many things that you don't know where to really start. Look at chapter 2. I want to talk to you a little bit about false teachers. The heading of in my Bible of verses 18 through 22, deceptions of false teachers. Swelling words full of emptiness. The word allure. Does your Bible have the word allure in verse 18? Allure means to entice with good but false and empty words. To allure means to attract through the lusts of the flesh. Lewdness. Now I want you to put that word on hold. L-E-W-D, lewd, lewdness. Our society is saturated with lewdness. You know, it's funny, you can watch a program on television, and then, you know, you, it's all right, but man, when the commercials come on, everybody's naked. Isn't that amazing that great big business corporations will spend money to put that kind of vulgarity in front of our nation? We need to pray for national repentance every day when you pray. They allure through lewdness the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Now, while they promise them liberty, they, that is the false teachers, themselves are slaves of corruption, and that's an ugly word, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. This desire, these corruptions, all of this filth, you see, had brought them into bondage, the false teachers, and will bring those into bondage who listen to false teaching. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, they have begun entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now it goes right on in verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment. Wonder what he's talking about, that holy commandment. He might have been talking about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every person who's heard the gospel has heard a holy commandment. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I mean, it's a very positive statement. That's something that we have to do. And the writer here said it'd be better that these who are teaching these false doctrines would have never even heard about or ever even known it, to turn from the holy commandment that had been delivered to them. It would have been better if they had not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and to have made it corrupt, to changed it, to have preached a false doctrine. And you know, without being critical, let me say this. You need to watch what you hear. You need to watch what you believe. Because there's still false teachings going around. Do you know what an antichrist is? John, in his little epistle, says there are already many antichrists in the world. And, of course, there's a lot of teaching about a great big booger bear who's going to rise out of the, you know, out of the east. I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I don't plan to keep any company with him. Do you? But an antichrist, and you see, the fact that it's in 1 John. 1 John is written against the error of that day. And one of the errors of that day was that you could not know anything positively. And in John, that 1 John, that little bitty book, there are 25 things. And we know, and we know, and we know, and we know, 25 things we know. If you don't know something, friend, you're lost. You hear what I'm saying? And we know knowledge. Now, if you hear something that disputes what we know, it's an antichrist spirit. To someone who preaches something that has to be added to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that too is an antichrist spirit. And this little book of John says there are already many antichrists in the world. That is, those who are taken away from, those that are adding to the finished work of Christ, because on the cross he said, it is finished. And this is the righteousness, you see, that we have in the Scripture. And it is better for those false teachers never to have known it. You know, think about this. They couldn't have taught against it if they didn't have known it. So you can't come against something, really, that you don't know anything about it, and that's reasonable, isn't it? Well, they knew the holy commandment, but they taught against it, and it would have been better for them if they had never known the way of righteousness. And then there's this awful, horrible, nasty illustration there about a dog returning to his vomit. I mean, yeah, a dog returns to his own vomit. That's about as unattractive as can be. Vomit in itself is very repulsive. And Jews hated dogs. They called the Gentiles dogs. That's Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11, in case you think I made that up. Proverbs 26 and verse 11 says that for us. As a dog returns to his own vomit, same thing, you see, so is a fool repeats his folly. That's Bible. I'm not making it up. Don't look at me like you don't believe it. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 11 says, as a dog, so it was a proverbial saying, returns to his vomit, so is a wise, so is a fool will repeat his folly or repeat his foolishness. He will not. He will not stay in the truth. And, even uglier, a sow having washed goes back to wallowing in her own mire. Have you ever seen an old sow hog? Anybody in the country? Yeah. You know, they just wallow around in a little mud hole and the biggest mess you ever saw in your life. Nasty looking mud and water. And this writer, Peter, says anybody who knows the truth and doesn't stay in the truth is as ugly as a dog that goes back to its own vomit, or sow who goes back to where she's already wallowed in her own mire. And that is not pretty language, but it is strong language, and it's meant to be strong language, and we need strong language. You know, truth is our need.
That's right.
Truth.
Yes. Is
our need. You know why it's our need? Because Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. I'm the living water. I'm your bread. I'm everything you need. The great I ams. And truth is absolutely essential. We cannot make it without his truth. Well, see, not to have known would be one thing, but do you realize that we are responsible for what we learn? We're not having fun, are we? For what we learn. And we need to spend a lifetime of learning. I want to share with you another place about how popular dogs were. You see, we think I'm a man's best friend. That's okay. But that's not biblical, see? It's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. Revelation 22, verse 15 says, outside, now this is the last winding up of what John saw on the Isle of Patmos about the Lord and this great salvation. He says, and outside are the dogs and sorcerers, that's fortune tellers, and sexually immoral, that's adulterers, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices a lie. Now that's a verse full of sin. And it's compared there to dogs. And if we know the truth, and we don't stay in that truth, then we are compared to a dog who goes back to its own vomit. I don't think there's any other interpretation of that, no matter how much we don't like that one. But it's actually positively the truth. There's other things. Let me mention very quickly. Noah and Lot, they didn't have any Bible, but Noah was a man of righteousness, and Lot is described as righteous. You know why? God can do anything to anybody at any time that he needs, but he needed Noah to build an ark. Amen. And he caused him to believe him by making him righteous. Amen. If Noah hadn't been righteous, he'd laughed at God. Because he never had rain. Build a boat? Well, I'm going to build a boat. Build a rock. Why? Ain't no water around here. But in his righteousness, he believed God. And Lot knew homosexuality was wrong. Uh-huh. See, God does whatever he pleases to whomever he pleases, whenever he pleases, in order to accomplish what he needs to accomplish in this great account of our salvation. Well, I think our time is up. The pace is so fast. Noah built the first boat. One of the great lessons in Noah's experience is for us, don't miss the boat. We will look at 1 John. 1 John has some wonderful, wonderful teachings in it concerning our righteousness. Probably the richest yet of our righteousness. Everybody happy? Yes. I haven't been ugly to you, have I? Always remember that I'm talking to me first. We all need to study and obey the Word of God so that our light will shine. And let me challenge you to do this. Listen to me a minute. Think about somebody that you don't like. Y'all are not listening. You don't want to hear what I'm saying. Find somebody you don't like and go this week and make a friendly gesture and ask the Lord to help you to love that person and to bless that person. And I can give you personal witness that it works. It works. I want everyone to have one of these copies of the Christmas letter. Anybody want one of these tapes of Nevertheless? All right. If you want to buy it, it's $3, but I'm not selling them. I want you to listen to it and circulate it. She forgot your tape.